This is University Beats. I'm Mark Schreiner. Imagine you're walking along a beach. A shipwreck washes up on shore, but it's unlike any ship you've ever seen before. It's actually a 42-foot long by 9-foot wide section of a wooden hull of a sailing ship that could have come from as early as the 1800s or even the 1700s. That's what happened recently on Ponte Vedra Beach in northeast Florida, just south of Jacksonville. A number of scientists and historians descended on the scene, one being Lori Collins, the director of the University of South Florida Library's Digital Heritage and Humanities Collections. Lori, welcome back to University Beat.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
First, can you describe the boat for us?
Well, it was Easter weekend when we were called to go out. So it was kind of interesting how many people were there and were really passionate about protecting it, saving it, wanted to know everything that we were doing there. The boat itself was really different looking in that typically you would think of like nails and metal being part of this, and there was none of that. These were like wooden, what they call tree nails, that were used to drive in and kind of hold the boards together. And so everybody was describing it as like a pirate ship. Some of the kind of unique construction features beyond the tree nails were Roman numerals that were on the sort of, if you want to think of it as like a rib cage for the boat, each of those timbers had its own Roman numeral, and that would have been used for a construction method of how it was assembled.
Why does your group get called into scenes like this, and what do you do once you're there?
This was part of sort of a collaborative that we've been developing and have a relationship with the Division of Historical Resources out of Tallahassee. It's part of our state cultural resource group that protects and preserves and responds to these kinds of things. And so we knew we had the correct kind of tools to be able to rapidly respond to documentation. It's a fragile kind of resource. It could have washed away. It has been moving across the face of the beach. And so we knew we needed to respond pretty quickly. And we got out there, and within, you know, half a day's worth of work, we're able to have an entire representation of what is the remains of this ship.
And how do you go about collecting that representation?
Part of the strategy was to combine global positioning systems with what's called terrestrial laser scanning or LIDAR. Instead of taking just one measurement and then moving to another spot, we're taking millions of measurements per second that we're collecting data. And so we end up with a point cloud that has millions of measurements that allow us to pretty well understand the complete dimension and complexity of an object like this.
And it's in such detail that you would be able to even see those etchings and those nail heads.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's millimetric accuracy, and we're able to capture all of the surface textures. So we're able to think about it like as a really high-resolution photograph, but it also has measurement capability with it. So we're seeing everything from tool marks to there's a copper sheathing that was present on this particular section, and we're able to look at all of those kinds of ways that they manufactured and constructed the ship.
And then on a computer, once this rendering is done, anyone who looks at it can then move the ship around and not worry about damaging it?
We call it virtual preservation or digital preservation. So even if something were to happen to it, or in this case, we're doing sort of forensic analysis. So we're working with another group of maritime archaeologists that are concerned with, you know, what era did this come from? Where could it have come from? We're able to sort of virtually deconstruct and reconstruct using the 3D data. And that's important for understanding even things like, how do we preserve it? Where do we move it? Where can we take this to? Are we going to do that? Are we only going to digitally preserve it?
You then work with other scientists and other sciences, really, to try to identify maybe something like the age of this boat.
All of these different types of samples, from what kind of wood or woods was this made from, to some of the critters that were living on it. So, you know, we saw barnacles and all kinds of little worms and crustaceans that were actually attached to part of it, which would suggest part of it might have been exposed at some point. And that helps us understand where it might have come from and how old it might be based on maybe carbon-14 dating.
Our colleagues at WJCT in Jacksonville reported that the ship was being moved up the shore so that scanning could take place. Do we know what was going to happen next?
Where it came ashore, it actually moved about 100 meters down the beach just from natural tidal processes. Some of the parts were kind of breaking off and having some issues with them. They were moving and securing those up the beach. So we scanned in two different areas, and we're going to put it back together, basically, virtually. They're kind of considering a few different options. The biggest thing is the size and dimension of this. It's going to be really hard to not only move it, but then how do you conserve it? How do you preserve it? Where do you put it?
And you're going to be able to take this information and then share it with the general public, are you not?
All of this will contribute to the library's digital collections. And so everyone will be able to not only look at this, but also bring it into a classroom, use these kinds of things in multiple types of settings with virtual reality or online platforms that will be freely available and accessible to everyone.
We talked to you about your work last summer when you digitally captured and mapped the scene of the huge sinkhole in Land O'Lakes, but your group is probably better known for these digital scanning of historical sites all over the world, Cape Canaveral, Mexico, Europe. What's it like when you get on the scene and you're looking at history?
To me, it's kind of interesting to look at it through the digital lens because I think that we are able to see things that we can't perceive when we're in front of an object. And that, to me, is probably the most exciting because we're making discoveries, but they're digital discoveries. You know, everybody always asks me, what's the coolest thing you've ever dug up? And for me, it's not necessarily digging something up, but it's actually looking at it on a computer screen. There's so much that can be learned about things just through a digital mechanism. So seeing the real and then seeing the replica, if you will, is something that's really intriguing to me.
And you also got called in to capture images last September when an even older wooden canoe washed up on the Indian River Lagoon in Brevard County. Do you think you're going to end up as some sort of ship whisperer along the way or what?
It may be older. The carbon-14 dating, there were three different ranges, and one of the ranges came up to be a later range in the 1920s kind of era. Through our digital reconstruction of that canoe, we're actually looking at several hypotheses, one of which could be it was actually a dugout from a utility pole. So stay tuned on that one because digital discoveries are definitely being made on that particular case. We actually are just signing a cooperative agreement with Pasco County after the sinkhole collapse, where we are part of a unit that will help with any kind of disaster where historic resources may be impacted.
We have photos from the site of the shipwreck along with a video of it from WJCT on our webpage, WUSFnews.org. Lori Collins, the director of the University of South Florida Libraries Digital Heritage and Humanities Collections, again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.
For University Beats, I'm Mark Schreiner.